you open your Bibles to the book of Malachi, chapter 1. Malachi, chapter 1. In just a moment, we'll begin our study from that text. Malachi, chapter 1. So good to see everyone here today. Today is somewhat a bittersweet day. Today, the last day for our 8:30 service. Good that it's the last day for our 8:30 service, that we can all come together as one, meeting at the same time. But we're glad to see each of you here today. Live stream will continue for a bit. Also, parking lot will still be available for those that still have some health concern issues. But we're certainly glad that we're able to be here today to worship and honor the Lord. And may I also extend my appreciation to all the mothers. We appreciate you very, very, very much. For those of us who have lost our mothers, we wish they were still here, have fond memories of our mothers, but we certainly are grateful and thankful for their influence, as well as all living mothers are such a great influence on all of us. So we appreciate you very, very much. Just hope all of you mothers have prepared a really nice dinner for us to eat today. Malachi chapter 1, if you will. I want to read verses 6 through 14, and if you would follow along with me from that reading. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. Oh, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? Says the Lord of hosts. To you, O priests, who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised thy name? You are presenting defiled food upon my altar. But you say, how have we defiled thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? Or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? But now, will you not entreat God's favor, that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? Oh, that there was one among you who would shut the gates, that you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. For from the rising of the sun even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you are profaning it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is defiled, and as for its fruit, its food is to be despised. You also say, my, how tarsome it is. And you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring what was taken by robbery, and that is what is lame or sick. So you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the swindler who has a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name is feared among the nations. A very scathing rebuke by God through Malachi to the priests of Israel, and their worship. Today I want to use this passage kind of as a springboard for us to talk about, I believe, a very important topic for us, and that is the idea of whether or not we are bored with worship. There is all over the pages of God's Word men not being satisfied with what God has said or with what God wants us to be doing, how God wants us to do it. So I want to ask us a couple of questions this morning. Suggest maybe what the world has decided, and then really think about how we resolve a problem of being bored. So if I was to ask you, is your heart really not in it? Now just for a moment, have you ever come to worship God and your heart just wasn't in it? You're just sitting on the premises. You're not standing on the promises. You're thinking about something else. You wish you were somewhere else. Are you just kind of tired of doing the same old thing all the time? I have heard through the years people say, we sing a song, we read a scripture, we pray, we listen to a boring lesson, then we sing again, we have a closing prayer, and they say the same prayer every Sunday, and it's just same old thing all the time, and it's just boring, boring, boring. You ever said that? You ever thought that? Do you ever feel like you just really don't get anything out of it? The songs that we sing just doesn't motivate you. The prayers that are uttered just doesn't do anything for you. And the preaching, man, that's the worst of all. Man, bore you to tears. Saying the same old thing all the time. Now, I want to suggest to us that those are things that people really do say. And those are feelings that people really do have. Oh, did I mention in the Church of Christ? You may be sitting there and I hope you're saying this. Well, I've never felt that way. I've never said that. Great. But what if you have? So maybe what we could do, we could just change worship. I mean, if you're sick of it, if you're bored with it, it's not doing anything for you, why not just change it? Okay? So what we could do, if it's old, if it's traditional, let's just do away with it. If we're just, you know, we've been doing this since, you know, the beginning of time, and it's just not getting it anymore. You know, people change. Things change. So let's just get rid of the old and the traditional, and let's do something really new and exciting. Let's do something that has some bells and whistles and, you know, some boom and pop and crack. And, you know, let's do something that just really is great and wonderful. I know this one church that they decided that when their preacher came up to preach the lesson, he would ride a Harley-Davidson motorcycle up. Well, I'm sure that's exciting. You know, a Harley's pretty loud. You take, put it inside of a building and rev it up a little bit, it's just gonna, you know, it's gonna blow the windows out. That's pretty exciting. People say, let's bring in a piano, let's bring in a band, let's bring in a choir, let's bring in a chorus, let's bring in something. Something has got to change. Man, it's just our church service is just not getting it anymore. So let's change some things. Some would even say that there's just no love and there's just no spirituality in this place anymore. It's dead. People are dead. Heard people say, well, you know, you just need to go out the front door when you leave and turn around and put a sign on the front door and say, R.I.P. Just rest in peace because this place is dead on a doornail. So what we need to do is bring in some love and some spirituality, some excitement in this place. Now, what if we decided to do that? Everything we've been doing, just scratch it. Start all over. do something that really has some, man, some magnificence to it. Would that be worship? I think it's fair when people have these kinds of feelings and these kinds of statements that it not just be thrown off, that it not be discussed, not be talked about. And you've got a religious world out here that is constantly reinventing the wheel in regards to a worship service that draws the people. A worship service that's exciting. Preaching that is exciting. Just, you know, you come to a service and man, you're just uplifted. You feel great. You feel wonderful. We just feel the love. We feel the spirituality. And don't tell me, as you're sitting there, that you don't want or wish that we could have that kind of service. Well, how do you get from point A to point B? Has what God said in His book, does that do it for us? Or do we have to reinvent that? Do we know better than God? So here's a good question. What is our purpose here? Well, our purpose is to come together and get everyone emotionally worked up. We come here so that everyone just feels so loved and so spiritual that no one leaves without feeling that away. Is that our purpose? What about the purpose to worship God? Well, without me going through all the details, would everyone in the audience at least agree that this great book teaches us to worship God? Would you agree with that? To worship God. Now the question is, how do we get that done? When we look at the Bible, we find that we are to worship God. You remember Satan when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness? And Satan wanted Jesus to bow down and worship him. And remember Jesus said, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." I think an important question for all of us to answer, if we're just going to scrap worship and reinvent it and make it exciting, what would be our purpose? Is not our goal in everything that I just said about change all about what we want? What I feel? What I need? And may I very sincerely say to us, that's not worshiping God. God has already decided what we need. We need to worship Him. Well, how do we do that? The way He said to. In the very get-go of the beginning of Christianity, in Acts chapter 2, we find that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Do you know why we pray all the time in worship? You know why we sing all the time in worship? You know why we eat the Lord's Supper every first day of the week? Because God commanded it so. So when we come together to worship God, it's not about us having some emotional rapturing experience. It's about us worshiping God. I love the story that Michael told this morning for the Lord's Supper. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. But the fact is, a young man that he noticed, this dear sister, that left an impression upon Michael. How she was worshiping God. And that will cause an emotional response. When you do it
the way God said do it.
But before we get too far in the lesson, I don't want to minimize or just to throw away one of the purposes of us getting together, and it is to edify each other. We come together to encourage each other. But how do we do that? With a Harley Davidson? With a band? Maybe we turn the lights down, burn incense. Maybe we all, you know, sway and clap and... I'm not making fun. I'm saying, is that what gets the job done? I think that's an important question to answer. So when we think about worship, here's the key to it. If we decide to get rid of the old and get rid of the traditional, we're going to start again. And the world is looking for how we can, you know, have just an exciting worship service. That's what they're searching for. So what is the key to all of that? Isn't it what Jesus said in Matthew 15? Really the key? Remember, Jesus said, "This people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." We can sing a psalm, hymn, spiritual song, and our lips can be uttering the words, but Jesus said our hearts can be far from Him. I'm not a judge of anybody's hearts. Neither are you. And the reason is because we don't know people's hearts. But God does. I refer you back to the passage we read as we started in Malachi 1. God was not only judging the priests' actions, He was judging their hearts. And only God can do that. Worship is about us not just honoring God with our lips, but from our hearts too. So if you're bored and you're not really getting into it, is that a problem with what is being done, or is it a problem with you? You need to ask that question. It's common when things are not right or things are not done in a good way, the first thing we want to do is blame other people. Doc had a great prayer this morning talking about our hearts, learning about what's right and wrong, and our hearts being adjusted to that, because it is the Word of God that changes our hearts. So, if we're not satisfied with worship, do we really understand the principle, the key to worship, that it all begins from the heart? Then Jesus said, "They worship me in vain." So we have to be careful, because we could change worship and God may not accept it. How would we know? Well, again, I point to the fact that this book is what teaches us about what God wants. So we could change it, and we could change it wrongly. And then we'd be violating what Jesus said, be worshiping in vain. Then He says, their teachings are but rules taught by men. I'm quite confident that we have a number of people here who we could get together, and we could come up with a worship service that just in a few weeks, we'd have standing room only in this building. I'm confident that that would happen. Now, if we look at it from the standpoint of the numbers, wow, if we could do that and we could have a worship service, we'd have standing room only, let's do it. Don't you have to stop and give consideration to, would this be pleasing to God? And don't we automatically presume that when we do it God's way and we don't have standing room only, aren't we presuming that God really don't know how to get the job done? That we want to change it? I mean, have you ever seriously asked yourself, here we are, Anderson Church of Christ, why don't we have people looking in the windows, standing in the auditorium, in the vestibule, seats everywhere? Why don't we have that? Well, the preacher's no good. He insults people. He teaches the truth. He don't teach the truth. He preaches too long. Preaches too short. He's too hard. He's too easy. Get rid of the preacher, things would change. Song leader, prayer guy, elders. We just got to change the whole deal. Out with the old, out with the traditional. Let's reinvent it. Well, if that's what we need to do, and that's right with God, then do it. But how would you know? So I think those are fair questions. Legitimate questions. But see, boring is not new. Boring is not new. We already looked at Malachi 1. I want to look at another passage, and this is in 1 Corinthians 11. And if you'll notice here in this particular passage, it ought to have been pretty plain to all of us that Paul, as he addresses the Corinth church, the thing that is significant here, that the Lord's Supper was corrupted. Now you think about this. Jesus gave the order, the apostles preached it to the churches, and that is that every first day of the week, we eat the bread and drink of the fruit of the vine, remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Pretty simple, straightforward. What happened to Corinth? Corinth got all messed up. They got bored with that. So what did they do? They started bringing their meals. They started eating common meals together as a church, along with the Lord's Supper. People being left out, people hungry, people bringing wine, intoxicated and getting drunk. Now you're talking about, okay, here's how we could really start bringing the people in. We're going to start serving intoxicating wine during our worship services. We're going to have a buffet over here and your wine selection over here. And what we're going to do, we're just going to eat until we just puke, and then we're going to drink until we're drunk. And man, we're going to have a service. Do you think people will line up down 207 here to get into a place with lots of food and lots of drink? And we're all going to do it in the name of Jesus. You say, have you lost your mind? Well, people of Corinth had. What did Paul say? Eat your meals at home. Are you starving to death right now? Are you hungry? You're waiting for me to get done so you can be first in line to go wherever. Okay, here's the deal. We serve the Lord's Supper. Or you brought your own. Or you got the little tiny packet thing back there. Now, if you were really hungry and you ate a little piece of that bread and you drank that fruit of the vine, wow, you're full now. You're just, you know, you're stuffed. Is that why you came? Well, you should have eaten a chicken biscuit before you come to services. You should have done that before you came. Well, after worship, we'll go eat another chicken biscuit. We're still hungry. But that's not what this is about. Well, Paul told that to the Corinthian church. But some were bored. So that's why they changed it. Verse 30. Did you notice? For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. Let me tell you something in case you didn't know it. This elevated position here affords the opportunity for me to look out and scan the audience. And just in case some of you are unaware, I do notice when you doze off. I notice that. And I have put some of the best brethren in the brotherhood to sound asleep. I realize that I'm not that exciting, not that smart. It just happens. People get bored. Many years ago when I first started preaching, that's been nearly 44 years ago, as of June 5th. And the song leader's wife, she sat up on like the second or third row or so up front. And her husband would lead the singing. They were one of the leading couples in the church, no elders. I'd get up and preach, and I would tell them everything I knew in about 15, 20 minutes. I mean, everything I knew. I just didn't know nothing. Still don't know a lot. And one day, I was shaking them out, and this sister came by, and she looked at me, and she said, "Brother Slee, I wish you would preach longer. I cannot get my nap completed." And she walked off. What do you say? Thank you. Appreciate that. And I had already noticed. She's right up front. And as soon as I would stand behind the pulpit, I'd take a look at her, and her chin would hit her chest. And she was gone. And so I don't know the lady's heart. Maybe she was praying that whole time. Maybe she's just saying, "This guy's got nothing to say to me. Anything he says, I already know. So I'm just going to pray the whole time." Maybe that's what she was doing. Other than she said she was taking a nap. So I'll just go with that. Can I seriously ask this question? What in the world was she doing? Was she worshiping the Lord? Did you know that some of you sleep? And it's not that I see you that it's a big deal. It's the Lord sees you. That's the big deal. So if I'm boring you, if the service is boring, what should we do about that? That's the question. Well, the cure is in verse 28 and 31. Paul says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat the bread and drink the cup." Verse 31. "And if we judged ourselves rightly, we should not be judged." You know what Paul said the problem was at Corinth? You need to take a serious look at your heart, brother. Because if you're so bored that you're going to bring in beans and potatoes or pizza and cheeseburgers for worship, and then bring you in, you know, some Jack Daniels and get drunk while we're having church, you seriously are messed up. You need to have a heart check. Why would that not be true today? If I'm bored, why shouldn't I have a heart check? So the problem probably is not with the songs, the prayers, the scripture reading. Still could be the preaching. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's me. So the problem is being bored with worship the way God designed it leads to doctrinal problems. Do you remember Nadab and Abihu back in Leviticus 10? What they did is still a little bit debatable, but here's what's said. They offered strange fire. I think at the very basis of that, they did something God said don't do. So they changed worship, and they're the priests, and God struck them dead. Now here's a thought that I've always had about our worshiping God. I wonder what worship would be today if for the past 2,000 years for the church of Jesus Christ, when anybody worshiped the Lord in vain or substituted the teachings of men and God struck you dead, what would be the attendance numbers of Churches of Christ today? Would we be alive? Would you still be living if God still struck worshipers of Him that did it wrongly? Would you still be alive? Take into account, He knows your heart. What if you're sitting here and you're doing everything that you ought to be doing, but your heart's not right? You're thinking about everything under the sun except maybe even you got your cell phone there and you're playing some game on it during worship service. And I've had people say that they saw other people in worship doing that. Well, I wouldn't be doing that if what? There was a Harley motorcycle pulled in. Doctrinal problems come as a result of not answering, "I'm bored in worship," scripturally. Secondly, it's the seed of emotionalism. Thus the cry for candles, incense, clapping, swaying. So we can have a real spiritual service. What if we turned the lights down? What if we met at the river? What if we met around a campfire? Now, if you've ever worshipped the Lord that way, I mean, there is some kind of emotional attachment to it. There is no denying that. But do we have to worship at the river? I mean, I've worshipped a few times in my life, fortunately, in Jerusalem. And there is, I will say to you, a bit of nostalgia attached to that. That you're in Jerusalem worshiping God. That's pretty cool. But is that what it takes to get rid of your boredom? You got to do something with some really big fizz and pop? The argument that Jesus had with the Samaritan woman in John 4 is the Samaritans thought that you needed to worship God in that mountain. Jesus said the Jews say you need to worship in Jerusalem. But Jesus then told that woman, there will come a day when neither in Jerusalem nor at this mountain will you worship the Lord. And his point was, like Paul and Silas who said in a prison cell, worship God. The ambience, the surrounding, that wasn't so hot. But they worshiped God. Because their hearts were right. And brethren, I really think it's really gotten down to a point where we need to understand that if we're not careful, it's not necessarily wrong to feel a certain way and ask questions about it, but if you look at scriptural answers and how to deal with it, that's what the Bible is for. It's to help you to answer some difficult questions. And there are a lot of good people that we know that have taken that question and they have filled it with vain worship. That is, they don't have any book, chapter, and verse. They have no God's authority for it. But when they worship, man, do they feel good. Man, is it spiritual. Man, is it exciting. But is it worship? The heart. Worship is about giving, not receiving. Study for yourself. Look in God's Word. Worship is not about necessarily you coming here and getting something. It's about you giving. First and primarily, you give to God. I'm not talking about monetarily necessarily. I'm talking about you give your heart. That song that Michael read was all about that giving up self and thinking about God and what God has given us. Worship begins in the heart, not from the surrounding, not from the surroundings. Our hearts rejoice after we do what's right. The old cart before the horse argument that was made way back in the 40s and 50s and 60s in many debates is really a very important fundamental truth. People want to feel good and then they do what's right. That is not biblical. You do what's right and then the feel good comes later. And which of us has done what was right and maybe we didn't feel so good at first? It's kind of like taking medicine. You're sick. You take some medicine. You feel great all of a sudden. Immediately. No. You got to keep taking the medicine. And then you start feeling better. When you do what's right, take your medicine. If, brother and sister in Christ, if you come to worship and it just doesn't feel good, you're not encouraged, I would encourage you, learn first what the right thing to do is. Do the right thing, keep doing the right thing, and the feel good will come later. Overcoming boring, if you will, allow me to bore you just a few more minutes to suggest this. When Mary Lee wrote this sermon, it was only supposed to be like 25 minutes. But it's just, I've told her I just can't preach it in 25 minutes. But we really need to start preparing before you arrive to the assembly. I really do think we live such hectic lives. We rush, 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 rush. We go, 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 go. Nothing wrong with that per se. But then Sunday morning we rush in here like we're going to put out a fire or something. And we sit down and we're so tired and we're so worn out. And we sit here, oh. You're not prepared to worship. You're dead. You need to get a good night's rest. Think about it. You've got a big, important ball game today. You need to eat right. You need to get your rest so you'll be at your best. When is the last time we really stopped, brethren, and thought about we are just flat wearing ourselves out 6 days, and on the seventh day, oh, you think the devil doesn't have a hand in the fact that Sunday morning is the absolute best time to sleep? Do you think that it's a coinkydink that you can get up at 5 o'clock, 5:30 every day and be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready to go to work and just set the world on fire? On Sunday morning, you can't get up before 8 o'clock. You're just wore out and you're tired. Oh, by the way, now you got a snotty nose. Now you got a cough. Well, you didn't have that yesterday, but you got it today. And guess what? Monday, man, you'll be well and you're ready to go. You think the devil's not playing you? He is playing you like a fiddle. How is that? Because you're looking for an excuse not to go to church. You're looking for an excuse not to worship Him. And then when you get here, because you feel like you have to come, you sit here bored out of your brain. I hope I'm not talking about anybody in this building. But my fear is I am. You got to eliminate distractions. It's important, maybe, to sit as close to the front as you can. Now, I'm going to say something that I don't mean it ugly, don't mean it unkind. It's just what it is. But you have got to learn yourself. We have such beautiful young families. They are having these babies. My daughter is one of them. And I think my little granddaughter is the cutest of everybody. Now, having said that, I notice during worship services, if you're sitting behind a baby, you're Googling that baby, you're looking at that baby. Now, I'm not judging hearts, I'm just judging actions. You can easily get yourself all focused on that cute little baby and you don't know if we sung Jesus Loves Me or to Zion's whatever. It happens. So I want to encourage you. If you're having trouble paying attention, move. Adjust your seat. Because you need to be able to be in it, brethren. You need to be here in heart and soul. We love our babies. We love our kids. They're going to make noise. They're going to cry. They're babies. But we're adults. We must learn to keep focused. It's easy to get distracted. We don't get rid of the babies. We don't tell the parents, keep your kids at home. It's making noise here at church. You ever been to a church that didn't have babies? Like a tomb. We don't want that. We love our babies. But we must be adults. Participate, don't spectate. It still amazes me, the Christians, that just sit there. Your lips never move. You never sing. that might be, just might be, just throwing this out here for thought, that might be, if you're not participating, you're just sitting there looking while you're so bored. You need to get into it. You need to participate. Think about the words that we're singing. Think about the words that are being taught. I guarantee you, if you listen to me, if you really listen to me speak, I'm going to make you mad. I guarantee it. I will make you mad at some point. I'm not intending that. I'm not wanting that. But my verbiage, my expressiveness is just going to rub you the wrong way at some point in time. Hopefully, one of these days, I'll say something, you go, "Oh, I love him. He's such a good preacher." Well, I hope that happens. But may I say something very kindly to all of you? I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to teach the truth. As loving as I know how, as kind as I know how, but I'm trying to help you get to heaven, not be your best buddy. Open your Bibles. Study with me. Look at the passage. Get engaged. And be in content with God's way. Those are helpful suggestions to all of us, including myself. True worship is about worshiping God from the heart, His way. Feel right and good about it. Now, I said all that to say this. If you're bored, God must have known that you might get bored. God must have known that when you serve Him, you might become weary. Quick example. I've already got you bored plumb out of your mind. Might as well go one more minute, okay? The work groups. Oh man, we do the same old thing. Got to call sister so-and-so. Called her last month. Well, got to go visit so-and-so. Well, visited him last month. Man, they're just heavy maintenance brethren. We keep doing that. It doesn't do any good. It doesn't change anything. Do you know who's encouraging you to feel that way? There are two sources of information in this old world. The devil and God. You seriously think that God is going to say to you, "What's the use of going to the work group? We just go there and do the same old stuff and it never does any good anyway." Who told you that? God? Need to rethink that one. We should have 100% participation in our work groups. Why? So that you don't lose heart in doing good. I think that's easy for all of us to do. Oh, the meal list is out. We've had some people had surgeries. The ladies are sent out by smoke signals or whatever they do with all that. They send it out. Okay? And it goes and goes and goes and nobody signs up. What's up with that? What's up with that, ladies? You say, "Well, I did that last year." Don't grow weary in well-doing. There is constant opportunities to do good, to help others. And if you're bored, whose fault is it? I thank you for listening. You've been extremely kind. In fact, you always are very extremely kind to me, and I appreciate that. None of you has come out and said that you wished I'd preach longer, though. But that's what I come to tell you today. I hope it will help you and encourage you. I have sympathy for you if you're bored. But I'm trying to help you to get unbored. And on board to do God's will. So if you're not a Christian, you can be saved today if you do it His way. If you're a child of God and you really haven't worshiped the way you ought, you haven't served Him as you should, that's probably a private thing. That's probably a personal thing. Ask God to forgive you. Do better. Do more. This church is a great church. but it is only as good as each individual member serves the Lord faithfully. Don't ever forget that. You personally are important to this church. Let's do our best. If you're subject to heaven's call, won't you come as we stand and sing? Why do you wait?